السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم، واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون كرجل واحد، إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders, brothers and our sisters who may be listening over streaming or receivers, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for affording us the opportunity to be, present ourselves for this occasion, this Jum'ah Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting together, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of our forgiveness. Respected elders and brothers, if we look at the condition of the world currently, and especially if we look at the condition of the Muslim Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then yes, on the one hand, alhamdulillah, we can say that Islam is the fastest growing religion, and we can say that Islam has spread to all the various continents. And here in South Africa, we can boast with regards to the many Islamic organizations and institutions and Darul Ulooms and Makatib and the wonderful and extensive network that we have. And indeed, this is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, respected elders and brothers, this lockdown period and the various regulations and restrictions and changing circumstances that have arisen, it has also shown the various weaknesses in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is therefore our duty to take lesson and to do an evaluation and analysis of these weaknesses within our community, within the Muslims of this country, and in the broader spectrum, the entire Muslim Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent to a nation in the time of Jahiliyyah. Let us just go back and analyze history. What was the condition of those individuals to whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent? They were such individuals who had such habits and ways that even the superpowers of that time, they were not even prepared to rule over these Arabs. They said they were worse than animals. And indeed, they had certain ways and certain habits that even animals wouldn't do it. We know very well the burying of the daughters alive, the wars that would take place for years and years and years, to such an extent that the books of history record certain wars that lasted for 150 and 120 years and over 100 years, to the extent that the people who were fighting those wars, if you ask them that why are you fighting with this particular nation, what is the reason that you're fighting, they say, look, we don't know why we're fighting, but our forefathers have, you know, seriously told us and passed on this great amanat that you must make sure that this battle continues, this fight must carry on. Why are we fighting? We don't know, but we just know that they are enemies. Something happened. The books of history record incidents like, for example, the camel from one person's property, it went over into the other person's property, it ate some grass, fed on the pasture, and because of that a dispute arose, and the dispute you know, it accelerated to the extent that it became a full-out war. And that war lasted for years and years and years. So this was Jahiliyyah. This was known as the period and the era of ignorance, where these kind of ways and habits were prevalent. Nabi Kareem Sasim came to such a nation. He came to such a nation and he changed their ways with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his noble akhlaq, with his wonderful ways. He united the Sahaba Kiram, he united the Arabs to such an extent that those very Arabs who at one time were prepared to bury their daughters alive, now an occasion came where they fought to take custody of a little girl whose father had been made shaheed in one of the battles. The Sahaba commented that, look at the condition now, that on one occasion we were prepared to bury our daughters alive. Now to the barakat of Islam, to the barakat of the teachings of Rasulullah SAW, here we see people are fighting to take custody and to look after this little girl. Such was the condition and such mutual harmony and unity that it is mentioned that one person prepared a food, he had a piece of meat, he then sent it over to the neighbor. That neighbor, Sahabi, he said to his family that, Alhamdulillah, we do have food. We thank Allah for the food that has come, but let us rather give preference to our neighbor. He then sent it to his neighbor. It is recorded that this piece of meat went down the road, came back up the road, until it came back to the very person who had initially given it. Such mutual love and understanding, to such an extent, that in the battlefield on one occasion, there were certain individuals who had different duties and tasks. This one Sahabi, his duty was to see to those who were injured. He heard somebody calling out, one Sahabi calling out who had been injured, for water, water. So he had the water, he raced to his rescue and to attend to him. And when he was about to give this Sahabi water, another Sahabi a little few meters away, he called out for water. The Sahabi says, no, no, first give him the water. He said he then raced to that Sahabi, and another Sahabi a little further down, severely injured, he called out for water. This Sahabi said, no, no, give him to water. He said, by the time I reached the third Sahabi, he had passed away. I then raced back to the second Sahabi, he too had passed away. I raced to the first Sahabi, he also passed away. This was the kind of mutual understanding, the kind of love, the kind of harmony, the kind of consideration for others. In the Battle of Badr, 313 Sahaba, the number was so small. But the kind of unity, the kind of mahabbat, the kind of love. Our late Hazrat Mu'inus Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, used to say that the condition of Medina Sharif was such that if one person was going through some difficulty, and if there were 100 people living in Medina Sharif, if there was one person going through difficulty, there were 99 people that were there to support him and to see to him. And if one person was going through some happiness, an occasion of joy, child getting married, child born in the family, there were 99 people to come and congratulate him and share his happiness. This is the kind of harmony and unity in Medina Sharif in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, yes, we can say that mashallah, the ummah is spreading and we are large in numbers and we have got so many organizations. But what is the reality, respected elders and brothers? That Nabi Kareem Sa'asim left the ummah in one piece, but today we find that the ummah has been fragmented into a million pieces. And fragmented in such a way that the hearts are disunited. One is, we understand that there will be many businesses in an area, but they are all working together. They're all working together. Listen, I can't get stock of a certain item. Do you have some extra stock? You could send it to me. They got a good understanding and agreement. I don't mind customers going to your place. We're working together. But I don't feel I should stock this product. You stock that product. Fine, we've got our differences. But we're working together. Our hearts are united. But here we find, respected elders and brothers, in one family. And each and every one of us can look in our own families and see that those differences are not mere differences. They now have reached the point where the hearts are disunited. The hearts are disunited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us in the Quran Majeed, subhanallah. The Quran Sharif is so relevant, respected elders and brothers. Every era, every time, you'll find its relevance. You will find the answers. Allah Ta'ala says in one verse of the Quran Sharif, in the 10 juz, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. That obey Allah and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah Ta'ala adds something to that. وَلَا تَنَازَعُ. Do not dispute. Do not dispute. One is we have our differences of opinions. But now we take it to the point of disputing with each other. وَلَا تَنَازَعُ. What will be the outcome of this disputing? What will be the outcome of these arguments and this fighting? فَتَفْشَرُوا. That you will become weak. Cowardice will set in. You will become weak. فَتَفْشَرُوا. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength and your power will vanish. And this is what we find globally in the Ummah of Rasulullah SAW. Our numbers are so large, but we've got no strength. We've got no strength. One alim put it so beautifully. He says, you see the fingers of the hand, if you keep it far apart like this, and now you try and hit someone, yes, you'll hit the person, but there's a great probability you'll also injure your fingers. So now take those same fingers and bring it together. Bring it together closely. Bring it united. And now hit the person and see the difference. Now you see the effect of it. The same respected elders and brothers. If we are going to allow this disunity to step within our families, let's not look at this organization and that organization. Let's start with our own homes and our own families. And especially the elders within the family. Sometimes we'll find that the senior person in the family, we always say, mashallah, the seniors, the seniors, the seniors, but sometimes the very seniors are the ones who maintain these differences. That no, we don't associate with this family. Because our dada and our nana had a problem with this family, so we too will not have a problem with this family. So then what is the difference between us and those people in Jahiliyyah? We should be just and we should be fair. Just because the great-grandfather had a problem with that family, what is the need for us to continue this fight and to continue these differences and to keep our distance from each other? We, and that's why we say sometimes we find it also, that when you're running a business, you're hiring someone, they say, oh, he's very elderly, so he must be very experienced. And generally, that is the case. But sometimes you find that those people who are elderly, they sometimes behave in a more immature manner than the ones who are young. The ones who are young, they come in and they are willing to adapt and they're willing to change. You find those who are elderly, they don't want to change their ways. They're old school. This is how it goes. We all for fighting, we are going to carry on fighting. Why we fighting, we don't know. But we're going to carry on fighting with this family. And we maintain these differences within the families. And as a result, we don't realize that we have weakened our own families. We have weakened our own homes. We have weakened our own structures. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, do not dispute. What's going to happen? You're going to weaken yourselves. Your family is going to become weakened. Yes, we will not agree on everything. Definitely, Allah has created it such that there will always be differences. But those differences should be such that it doesn't reach the point where we start fighting with each other. That we force our opinion on the next person. If a certain person likes a certain color, now he says, well, everybody must like this color. Otherwise, I'm not talking to this person. Everybody must like a certain color. Can you imagine how boring the world would have been if everybody liked only a particular color? But now we find that before, because there are differences, Allah has created as such. That there is diversity. There is now color in the world. There's different shapes. There's different sizes. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. But then subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala gives us a solution. That definitely there is going to be differences of opinion. Wasbiru. Be patient. And look, I cannot force my opinion on every person. So either I'm going to try and force my opinion on that person and he's going to change. But if that doesn't work, what am I going to do? Wasbiru, be patient, be tolerant. Accept the fact that he has chosen this way. Accept the fact that this person has decided to follow a certain mufti. And we must realize also that now with regards to all these matters, every mufti, Allah Ta'ala has given him a certain position, something which is not clearly found in the Quran and Hadith. The mufti will apply his mind, he will come to a certain solution, he will come to a certain verdict. We must respect the fact that he has applied himself, respect his opinion. We had in the madrasa, we were doing some construction work. So we had two engineers who gave us two completely different opinions. But they didn't fight with each other. They didn't fight with each other, and neither will we fight. And we'll accept that, look, this, and haven't we always seen this with, first of all, go to the doctor. The doctor will say, you need to go to theater. You need to undergo surgery. Generally, you'll hear someone saying, just take a second opinion. Take a second opinion. In other words, we accept that there could be another opinion with regards to this medical matter. And we tolerate it. In the same with matters, with regards to matters of deen, there will be different opinions. We should tolerate each person's opinion and do not force and thrust your opinion on the throat of the next person or down the throat of the next person. Wasbiru. Be tolerant, be patient. And then Allah Ta'ala motivates that. Allah Ta'ala motivates that patience. Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. That you're going to be patient, Allah will be with you. You will get the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will be with you. That you were not happy that this person didn't accept your opinion. He didn't accept your verdict. He didn't follow your mufti. He didn't follow your particular line of school of thought. And you tolerated it. Allah ta'ala is with you. You have got the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, respected elders and brothers, if we study the lives of the Sahaba ikram, we study the lives of the pious predecessors, there are so many incidents. One particular incident, Imam Taqtawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he writes in his kitab that a very famous Hanafi scholar, he went to visit a Shafi'i scholar. And the fact that they could visit each other just shows the kind of mutual understanding that they had. And they accepted the fact that there is another opinion. And I could be wrong in my analysis of things. And he could be right. And likewise the other way. The person who had the opposing opinion or the other opinion, he accepted the fact that there was a possibility I could be wrong in my analysis. I could be wrong in my verdict. And this person could be correct. He says that when he went to visit the person, the time of Salah arrived, the Shafi'i scholar requested the Hanafi scholar to perform the Salah. And he advised his Muazzin that now you give the Iqama according to the Hanafi style. And this Hanafi scholar, when he performed his Salah, he performed his Salah in accordance to the Shafi'i style. Look at the level of tolerance, the level of understanding. Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes in Ma'arif al-Quran, under the verse of the Quran Sharif, where Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam mentioned the statement that قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. That when we know the story of Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, when the brothers threw him in the well and then they returned with the blood-stained shirt and they said, no, a wolf had eaten him. So Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam said, how amazing this wolf is, that it was able to devour my son, but the shirt is not even torn. And so he said that definitely you have concocted this matter, you have made up this story, you have fabricated the story, and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on in the story, and in this incident, when the brother of Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was kept behind by Yusuf alayhi salam by devising the tactic of planting the evidence in the food of Binyamin, then we find that this brother was kept behind, and the brothers went back and reported to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam that look, this is what happened, that they found the cup of the king inside his belongings, and therefore they kept him behind. And you can ask the people of the town. Again, Yaqub alayhi salam, he mentioned the same statement, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا, that you have fabricated a matter. Subhanallah, under the tafsir of this particular ayat, the ulama kiram write that here we find a Nabi of Allah. A Nabi of Allah analyzing two situations. In the first, he was correct in his analysis. In the second, he was incorrect. And then they state that if a Nabi of Allah can make a mistake, and he can be incorrect in his assessment of a situation, where does that leave you and I? And therefore we should always realize that our opinions are such, that our opinions are such, it can be wrong. We should be open to changing our opinion. And we should always accept that, look, this is my opinion, but I could be wrong. The other person could be correct. And the other person should feel the same, that, look, this is my opinion, but I could be wrong in this opinion, and the other person could be correct. Subhanallah, if we will have this kind of mutual understanding between ourselves, there will be harmony within the families, there will be harmony within our communities, there will be harmony within our societies. And this is exactly what Shaitan wants. Shaitan wants to flame and fuel the fires of division. He wants to see the fighting taking place. He gets extremely excited. In one riwayat is mentioned that every day the various devils and shayateen, they come back and they report to Iblis that look, this is the thing I did today, and I was able to allow, keep a person away from studying deeni knowledge, etc., etc. But when, and each person will be congratulated. But when the person, when that particular devil came back and said that there were two individuals, a husband and wife, I caused them to fight and then separate. It is mentioned that on that occasion, Iblis stands up and actually gives him a real welcoming, real vote of thanks. Appreciates his efforts. And this is exactly what Shaitan wants. He wants to see us separating. He wants to see these divisions. But Allah Ta'ala teaches us that the deen of Islam, there is every effort that is made to bring us together. Look at this Jum'ah Salah. That we find people of diverse backgrounds. But we are able to stand shoulder to shoulder. We are able to stand together. We are able to come in one particular environment. We are able to stand in a straight line. Yet we may have different opinions. We may have different thoughts. But we are able to stand next to the person. Same with regards to the Hajj. That we will go out and we will spend our time on the plains of Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifah. We will mix with everyone else and we are like everyone else. Yet we are different. But we accept each person, that this person is a Muslim, that person is a Muslim. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, every effort should be made within our families, and we make an appeal to those who are senior in the families, the parents, the grandparents. Let us teach our children to tolerate the views of others, and let us not flame the fuels of animosity and hatred to such an extent, respected elders and brothers, it has reached the point. And ulama-i-kiram will bear me out, they are dealing with the cases in the communities where unfortunately families are not talking to families because of these differences of opinions. Where families are no longer going to visit the other families because of disputes that have arisen because of these issues and issues of this nature. What is going to be the outcome of this situation? We are going to live a life of a miserable life. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, remember we need to keep ourselves together. We need to have a mutual understanding and we have to tolerate each other. And this is the call of the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that if you want this Muslim ummah to be powerful, if you want the ummah to be effective, if you want it to have a far-reaching effect, then you need to unite. There will be differences of opinion. You need to tolerate the differences. You need to exercise patience and you need to be tolerant. Then you will find the Muslim Ummah will be one. Nabi Kareem Sassim said, Al-Mu'minuna ka rajulin wahidin. That the Mu'min, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers are like one body. If one part of that body is affected, the entire body feels the pain. If the eye is affected, the entire body is uncomfortable. Any part of the body is affected, the entire body is uncomfortable. This should be our condition. It should not be that, oh, good this happened to these people. You see, good it happened to them. You see, they had this opinion. They were against our opinion. We're very happy that this happened to them. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from harboring animosity for others. It has come to the point where if somebody does not agree with your opinion, we start hating that person. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Again, we remind ourselves that on those Mubarak occasions when Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is descending, the 15th night of Sha'ban, the night of power, these Mubarak nights, Allah Ta'ala forgives so many people. But that individual who is harboring malice in his heart, who is harboring animosity in his heart, who hates someone else, that becomes a barrier. And he deprives himself of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala on these nights. So may Allah Ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us that humility and respected elders and brothers. One of the reasons for this kind of an attitude is when pride sets in our hearts. When we start developing this holier than thou attitude, that we are better than the next person. Respected elders and brothers, our condition should be this, that we regard ourselves as the weakest, one great wali of Allah Ta'ala. He says every morning when I wake up, I address myself. He says, I address myself and I say that, oh Allah, I am the worst. I am the worst Muslim in this entire world. I am the weakest. And then he takes it one step further. He says, but Ya Allah, if I die without Iman, then in fact I'm even worse than a dog and I'm even worse than a swine. So he would address himself every morning. Now when we have this kind of an attitude, we will never look down upon the next person, that look at how he's dressing and look at how this person is. One person said the message, but Morana, I tend to get very upset with a person when he commits and does certain things. So we related to him what we learned from our ulama and our elders. I said that look down upon the sin, do not look down upon the sinner. Look down upon the sin, do not look down upon the sinner. And the example that was given is that if a person has a priceless diamond, one person showed me a diamond over R1 million. So that priceless diamond now, if that R1 million diamond, one and a half million diamond, if it has to fall into the sewer line, well, we say that, you know what, look at that filthy diamond, I'm going to touch that diamond, just let it go, no way. What will we say? Now we know the value of the diamond, we say, no, put gloves on too, pick it up, take it out from there, wash the diamond, wash the dirt off the diamond. The diamond is still the diamond, it's just that some dirt is brought onto the diamond. That person is still a believer, he's still a reciter of the kalima, he's still a mu'min, he's accepting the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, he's got some bad habits, he's got some filthy ways. We don't condone those actions. Look down upon the action that this person is drinking. Drinking is very bad. It's a very bad thing to drink. But tomorrow if Allah Ta'ala gives him hidayat, subhanallah, what his condition will be. One person says, Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullahi alayhi, he says beautiful lines of poetry. He says that, kaise kaise aise waise hoge, kaise kaise aise waise hoge, or aise waise kaise kaise hoge. Which means that there were certain people, they were very very pious. Everybody looked up to them in the community. They regarded themselves too to be so very pious. But what happened? Pride set in. Some statement came out of the tongue and the person became distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that sometimes the person even lost his iman. Or aise waise, kaise kaise hoge. And there were certain people, alhamdulillah, we saw in the company of Hazrat Moinis Patel sahab rahmatullahi, and you will know this around the ulama-i kiram, people will come, what their condition will be, how far away from deen. The person may have tattoos, the person will have a earring, the person will have a drug habit. And today you look at that same person and you say, subhanallah, this person has become so pious, this person has become an alim adeen, what his condition was and what he is today. Therefore, never look down upon any person. We should look down upon ourselves. We should regard ourselves as the weakest and always look up to the next person and have this kind of an attitude. If a person has humility, you will find that people will be attracted to that person. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us these beautiful qualities of humility, of mutual understanding, of tolerance. This is the only way we're going to be able to live together in harmony, tolerate the views of others, understand that yes, we will have differences, but we need to tolerate the opinion of Allah of others. Allah Ta'ala says, wasbiru, be tolerant, inna allaha ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with those. The ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala is with the person who has got sabr, who tolerates the views of others. May Allah Ta'ala unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unite our hearts. May Allah Ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and alleviate the suffering. If we will unite, we will find that we'll become such a powerful ummah that no force will be able to weaken us. May Allah Ta'ala strengthen us and unite us. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.